So in true proper podcast fashion, we have failed to make an episode for like 2 months.
Yeah, well, I have an excuse. And you have an excuse. For once, we actually have valid excuses.
Not really. We could have crammed one in there.
Yeah, but I would have been not well during it. Let's put it that way. Because I would have been either cramming my ass off for PAX and then like panicking that it wouldn't have been done. And then you would have been like, well, I got to go on a plane in like 3 hours.
Yeah. People do podcasts on planes. Professionals. Assholes.
Are we professionals? No.
I was going to stop listening to the Joe Rogan podcast because he was doing a podcast on a plane and he just seemed like an asshole.
Wait, do you mean he just was acting like an asshole on the plane? Or he was like recording it literally on a plane and then complaining when other people were disrupting him?
He was recording it literally on a plane and in first class because he's fucking Joe Rogan's baller.
Yeah.
But then it was also somehow trying to be like of the streets and talk about how everyone else was just rich motherfuckers around him.
But of course.
Like, you're a rich motherfucker.
Not me. Yeah. I'm not. Everyone else is.
Yeah. So anyway, this is a superficial podcast. I'm Bad Spot, Eric Hartman.
And I'm Rotondo.
That's my imaginary friend Rotondo.
That's no, I'm cutting that. No.
I have a story to open up with.
Okay. Story time.
Yeah.
With Bad Spot.
I've been playing this game called Elliot Quest.
Yes, I've heard of it. By which I mean I've seen you play it.
So it's a little side-scrolling Metroidvania type thing. You have a little bow and arrow, you shoot things, and there's a overworld map, so it's like there's a bunch of different places to go.
Yeah.
You get different abilities, unlock different shit, Metroidvania. So I've been playing it, it's all right. It runs smoothly, and it's okay, it's acceptable anyway. But I've been noticing that some shit in it is like, I want to be the guy level of difficult. There's one level where there's these thwomps that come down, and it's like comical how fast they come down.
Well, do you not have the youngin' reflex?
That's what I'm worried about. Like, I'm getting old, right? And can't play video games anymore, somehow. But whatever, you can learn it, and you sort of predict it. You tease them out, and you trick them to go down first, and then you go through them.
Yeah.
But then I get to, like, the fourth or fifth boss, like, the sort of final boss before the end boss. It's, like, this giant knight on ice, and the ice physics are all fucked up, where you have to, like, jump straight down onto the ice. And it's more like a conveyor belt than ice.
I gotcha. So it's not quite, like, Luigi feeling. It's actually like you're moving without your consent.
Yeah, like as soon as you hit a direction, you instantly start going that direction, and then you can't stop.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's like fucked up. He does a huge amount of damage to you, and then he summons these undead skeletons, and you can only like temporarily bust the skeletons, and then they come back to life.
Yeah, it's like Mario trope.
Yeah, and also you have checkpoints, but then when you respawn at the checkpoint, you only respawn with half your life. You can get potions to heal your life, but if you use them and then you die and respawn, you don't have them anymore. So basically, you just don't have them.
That's...
Because, like, how would you...
Yeah, that's kind of shitty.
Unless you, like, save them. Like, unless you try, like, 50 times in a row with the boss and then use the potion. But then, like, he's got multiple phases. And you don't know what the fuck is happening. Anyway, I'm like, this is fucking impossible. I gotta watch a YouTube video of someone doing this.
Did you watch it?
Yes. So I tune into a YouTube video. And at this point, I discovered that I have been playing the game at double speed.
You have not been playing... Are you serious?
Yes. because I have a high refresh rate monitor. And the game
just matches the refresh rate.
Yeah, I just assume 60 hertz. And I've been running on a 110 hertz monitor. So it's like, you know, 185% speed or whatever it is.
That's awesome.
And then I switched down to 60 hertz to try and fix it. And it just felt like slow motion.
Oh.
Like I couldn't play it at slow. I couldn't play it at normal speed.
Wait, so is this all training and now you feel like you're in the Matrix and you can control it?
Yeah, well, actually, ended up beating the boss at double speed.
Really? Holy shit.
Yeah, like I found a better strategy where you can just use this, you have this tornado ability, you turn into like Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah.
And you can just use that to go through his abilities. And it also, if you just cram into him, you just run into him, then you don't have to worry about the ice physics.
That's good.
You wait till he's about to attack, you turn into a tornado, you run into him. And you just shoot him until you have to push him back into the spikes, which I figured out. But what I didn't figure out is that you can kill the undead skeletons with fire.
Oh, of course, because that's good.
Well, if they were zombies, I would have done that immediately.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense with skeletons. Plus, they have to show you that.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Well, it never came up before because they were just like there and you could just shoot them.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like just having a set piece, since it's a linear game, right? It's not like procedural generated or anything.
No.
just having a set piece where, like, you show, oh, you got the fire power up, and then show them, like, unrelated, catching on fire and instantly dying. I mean, it doesn't make sense too much with why skeletons would be weak to fire, but that would at least tell you.
Yeah, you could have a, like, a wall shooter, like a little gun in the wall that shoots fire.
Yeah.
Gonna keep playing it on double speed, because I was used to it. But as I got into the final stage, it's like some bullet hell shenanigans. There's also some secret areas I went into that have, like, you have to bounce on these bubbles that come up. You know, there's, like, a huge pit, and you have to bounce on these bubbles that go across it.
Yeah.
As they're scrolling up.
Mega Man-esque.
Yeah, except the bubbles are not in a predictable pattern. Like, I think they're supposed to be, but it's just bugged.
Well, it might not be bugged. It could be that you're running at too high frame rate.
Yeah, I think it's there's some stuff that legitimately gets broken.
Yeah, I still can't believe that. That's, I watched the gameplay and I'm like, yeah, this does seem kind of slow.
I think it could
handle
being,
at 185%.
Like, yeah, it's controllable. It's the thing. I was like, it was a reasonable speed. I was like, this is reasonable. Makes me worry about my game though. That I'm just like living in some parallel dimension where it's terrible.
No, do you mean it's just too fast?
Yeah, I mean, I already slowed it. It used to be like many years ago. It used to be even faster.
I know. Yeah, I remember the demo. I don't know, because you've had people test it and people have seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fine.
And no one has like been like, oh, it's too quick. And I played a decent amount. Hell, even some people I've shared it with on my like friends list who don't even play those types of games had played a decent amount and they didn't mention anything about the speed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're all set there. Plus, it'll make you stand out. Sonic the Hedgehog game.
It is inadvertently a sense. Like, I did make the first level be Green Hills and I didn't even realize it. It's called Hills. And it's green, so it's Green Hill Zone.
It's Green Hill Zone, okay.
Yeah, and there's zones. There's three level zones.
Do you have... I got an idea, and I just want to throw it out to you, okay? Have you thought about having a level or zone that perhaps takes place in a casino?
I mean, casino is a good zone. We've done brainstorming type things before where the problem is, it's like, how do you get away from, like, ice zone, lava zone, underwater zone,
yeah,
forest zone?
Well, the answer to it is you don't.
Yeah, but there's plenty of other things that are like abandoned hospital or prison.
Yeah, but those aren't...
I want to see the new Mario game with the prison zone.
Go to prison. Well, Super Mario Odyssey does go to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's almost like prison.
Close enough, like Escape from New York. How did Mario Odyssey avoid the Sonic and with real people problem?
It kind of didn't. I think it looks weird as hell. But it's Nintendo, so they developed that shit. That was probably the most developed level they had, where like, oh, the people need to be like people, but at least they need to be very dramatic and cartoony and like silly. It needs to be very clear that this is not Mario's world. You know what I mean? Like, he's visiting. This is not where he lives. And I think they did an okay job with that, but in reality, they just wanted to throw it back to like Donkey Kong, because it's called New Donk City. They just want it's a clever like motif, and it looks nice.
I'm pretty sure Nintendo made their own character models. Where I'm pretty sure like Sonic 06, they just got some sort of asset library and just used that. There was an Uber autonomous vehicle that killed a person.
Yeah, I actually heard about that. When was that? 2 months ago?
Yeah, that's how long we've procrastinated. They ran over a person on a bicycle.
Yeah.
Or it was walking their bicycle. And that's not the unusual thing. The unusual thing is that the dash camera footage that they released has clearly been edited.
Oh, that's weird.
And no one really reports on this, is a thing. And let's see if we can find the... So that's the EEV blog dude showing some comparison footage.
Okay, so he's saying it's edited?
No, he's saying that he was just saying like, oh, this is like some shit cameras they're using. I think it's been edited. If you look, like, it's almost like they put like a dark cloud. Let's see if we can actually find the original.
Are they trying to make it seem like, oh, it's darker than it actually is?
Yeah, because otherwise
it would be clearly at fault, I'm guessing.
Well, like, obviously, like, see, the thing is, it's to reframe it into human perspective. So basically, here's the footage that they released.
Okay.
And when you're looking at it, it looks like a person just comes out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
For your human brain. But even at this, even with just this as the footage, a camera-based system should have detected this person and stopped, right? Like a robot would have had no problem to do that. But they've reframed it in such a way that to a person, it looks acceptable.
Yeah.
But if they showed the actual undarkened footage, it wouldn't look acceptable to a person even.
Yeah.
Because you'd be able to see the person for like 6 seconds before it hit.
Yeah. So the question I have for you, so this looks like it has been done deliberately. Either that or they have shit cameras, right?
Yeah, like maximum shit.
Okay. Did they do this just in a last-ditch effort to try to like prevent people from going mass hysteria against this technology?
Yeah.
So like I'm very conflicted because it's not good to just be lying. But at the same time, the way public reacts to things, this would probably not be good for autonomous driving vehicles if they released the undocumented footage and it looked very clear that they were, you know, able to see them. Because there's this thing. I mean, I watched the whole video about it. They're trying to replace the old traffic lights with new LED traffic lights, but no one wants to do it because sometimes there's snow and the snow covers the LEDs and the LEDs don't get hot enough to melt it.
Okay.
That's kind of like what happened in this thing where like, oh, we have autonomous drivers. Sometimes they might hit someone when you don't put in perspective that like people hit each other all the fucking time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this is bound to happen. Also, that person's crossing their bike in the middle of the fucking road, right?
Yeah. At like the darkest spot in the road.
At the darkest spot in the road. Even without, I mean, yeah, it does look like it's darkened, but even without that, it's not great.
But on the other hand, we do have a company that there's plenty of controversy surrounding, and now we know that they will doctor evidence relating to someone's death.
Wait, they died? The person died?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, see, that's not good. I'm surprised that they haven't brought this up.
And also there's interior footage.
Of the woman reacting. Yeah.
Woman. You're very charitable.
I think it's a woman. Pretty sure that's he's got long hair. I just thought woman.
He's got like facial hair.
Oh, no, that's a man. He's got long hair. I'm confused. I don't know what the styles are these days.
It's a degenerate because like his job is to sit in an Uber. He's also got like a criminal record and shit.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, there's some controversy over it.
They're not going to pin it on him, are they?
No, but it's just like they've hired like a scumbag to sit in this Uber car. And he's looking at his cell phone and then it kills somebody, right?
Is it... So he's supposed to be watching the road,
yeah,
right? Is that his job?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. That's shitty. I'm more worried about the doctoring of the footage than the person error inside.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can't really blame them because, I mean, they're sitting there and basically someone else is driving for like 5,000 hours.
Yeah.
And then obviously you're not going to like stare attentively out of the window all that time.
Yeah.
Lucky they weren't asleep.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a tricky subject because it very much looks like the video footage has been edited, at least darkened. But it could be literally this.
It could be incredible incompetence.
They just made it the shittiest camera. Yeah, it could be just incredible incompetence where they're trying to save every fucking, you know, nickel and dime on this.
But I mean, it's not even incompetence. Even the cheapest cell phone camera would lighten that scene up. It's
not exactly true.
They would have to have the thing like dialed in wrong completely.
Yeah, they could have had it dialed in wrong, but it's not exactly true. Like my camera, my cell phone is actually like, it's an S3. It's like old. That's exactly how it would look on my S3 because the chips just aren't sensitive enough. We've made amazing progress in the past, like, 7-8 years in small-ass chips that can have really light, good light sensitivity for all these things.
But still, that'd be, they'd be using, like, a 10-year-old camera. I think they darkened it.
I think it's probably, the safest bet is they probably darkened it.
Because, I mean, they definitely edited it to blur out the dash cam info, and also they cut, you know, before the person goes ragdoll.
Yeah.
So a PR person was in charge of editing that. And I think they went the extra mile.
So out of curiosity, is this related at all to Google's autonomous car?
I don't think so. Everybody is doing their own thing.
Okay.
In fact, they're driving the car that Uber is using is a Volvo C90 or C whatever. It's a Volvo. And the Volvo itself comes with a collision avoidance system, but they had disabled that.
Seriously?
To do their own thing, which makes sense. But here's the thing. I have seen many stories where someone like was testing an automatic braking system and then it failed. And every single time the company comes out and says, oh, actually they turned it off. I don't mean, maybe they did and everyone's that stupid. There were at least two cases on Top Gear where they actually showed like there was a case with a BMW thing where they're at a press conference and they're going to have it. They have a car go really fast and then do the automatic braking and just crash into the car.
Yeah.
And then there was one at a Volvo dealership where a guy is like, oh, it drives straight at me and it'll stop. And then it ran into him. But apparently that car that they were running into him with didn't even have the pedestrian avoidance system.
Oh. Like, you mean it didn't even have it, the capability built in, or just had it turned off?
It didn't have the capability, they say.
I almost had a good counterpoint, not counterpoint, but addition to this, where the I thought I found footage of the Google car crash from, I think, like a year, maybe 2 years ago. Except the YouTube account that had the footage on it has been terminated.
Dude, have you ever gone through your liked videos and see how many are deleted?
Yeah, it's not good. Oh, people get paranoid.
When it's deleted, for copyright reasons, it will at least give you the first blurb of the title so you can know what got deleted. But if the channel gets removed, then it just says the channel was removed. And you don't even get to find out what video. It's just memory hold. You don't even know what video got deleted. I was going through my favorites and I got like 20 videos have been deleted.
Yeah, that's just kind of how it goes, the YouTube.
That's how it goes, memory hole, culture being erased from under us.
Well, there was a thing. Okay, here's the thing. You're assuming like malevolence.
It's effective malevolence. It doesn't matter. It's like when there's a conspiracy without communication.
Here's the thing. I know numerous people on the internet who are like, I just deleted everything. Because I was like, either they were A, sick of it, or B, like, they got mildly, like, not hacked, but their identity got out there, and it was not nice for them. And they deleted everything they had. Some of these people had actually made some content that had gone, like, either viral or had thousands upon thousands, 10,000, 20,000, 40,000 views, you know? So, like, while I'm not saying that Google is not going through and being like, we're just going to delete these things because we don't agree with them, I am saying that it does happen where someone, even like a prolific YouTuber, might even just be like, fuck it, I'm out, and delete everything.
Yeah, I mean, so philosophically, do you have the right to destroy a popular work of art?
No.
Even if it's your own?
Oh, that's tough, because now you're qualifying a YouTube video as art.
I have an example. On Reddit today, or yesterday, somebody posted the music video for Jamiroquai, Virtual Insanity. Seen this, where they're, where it's, the floor is all sliding around. They did it by driving the room around.
I have not, but that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's sort of a classic of the late 90s music video era. So if you search for it, this is the video you get. And I will tell you that it is not supposed to be tilted at 40 degrees. They have done that so that it avoids copyright bots. Are you there? What happened?
Yes, I'm just reacting to how stupid this is.
Then you notice that this has 5.3 million views. This is the only way you can really view this. If you look for the official one is not available in all countries, including America.
Huh.
And this is kind of a shit quality version of this thing.
Yeah.
So basically, some company has purchased the rights to this video and then prevented everyone in the world from seeing it. Should you be allowed to do that? And if not...
I mean, as awful as it is, when it comes to content and like highly produced content like this, yeah, that's just how it goes with the rights holders and everything.
I mean, should you be allowed to purchase paintings from the Smithsonian and just fucking burn them? And also DMCA everyone who has made a copy of it.
Okay, so like a painting from the Smithsonian, right? It has existed for like possibly over 100 years, depending on what painting it is.
Yeah.
So at that point, it becomes like a historical preserving thing, right? When you delete something from the internet, it's not really gone. There is someone who has this archived. There's someone who has most things archived. It's just the nature of, like, will it be publicly viewable? Possibly.
But I mean, if you have a thing that can't be seen ever, I feel like you're robbing from the public consciousness.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, it's interesting. It's not something that we've had to deal with, but it'll be something that will probably be very, very pertinent in, like, 10 years. When, like, you know, now it's been 20 or so, maybe more years since we've had, like, this first era of content, and a lot of it's going to be missing.
Well, I mean, I think there's the music video era is already eroding rapidly, because this sort of thing doesn't really get... I mean, people make music videos now, but it's for YouTube, and sometimes there's product placement and stuff, and it's not really the same. Whereas this music video is purely for the sake of adding to the experience of this song.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are short films in their own, right? Like... Yeah. Wax Southern California, where there's a guy running running around on fire.
Yeah.
And Prodigy Smack My Bitch Up. A classic of first person cinema.
Classic.
No, like for real. Like if you're talking about like if you're gonna talk about when something Hardcore Harry or something came out. I'm gonna sound old because I didn't get the name right, but there was a movie that came out a little while ago that was entirely first person and it was like a video game.
I remember that. Yeah, they had a Vimeo movie they made, and they got huge coverage. And they're like, we need to make this into a movie. And then 5 years later, they made it into a movie. And they realized 5 years later, no one really cared.
Some people said that it was great. I didn't see it.
Yeah, there you go. Some people said it was great. I didn't see it.
But anyway, if you're going to talk about first-person cinema, you have to talk about Prodigy Smack My Bitch Up. Classic.
I mean, if you have to talk about first-person cinema, you have to talk about that amazing scene in the original Doom movie.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that, too.
I do like that. I like that scene. I think that scene is very underrated for obvious reasons, because it's in a terrible movie.
Yeah.
That was almost a fun... They almost pulled that movie off. I just want to point that out. This is totally unrelated to what we're talking about, but they almost pulled that movie off. They almost made it self-aware and, like, stupid. And that's kind of the only way you can make that movie. But yeah, anyway, back to the actual topic we're talking about. It's interesting. I just don't think it's really going to come to fruition, the ramifications of it, for maybe another 10 years.
I think it's already happening right now, and it could happen tomorrow. They could just roll out, like...
And it could happen to you.
No, like, Google could just be like, oh yeah, we've expanded our machine learning algorithm to cover every website on the internet, and Chrome is just going to silently, you know, stealthily prevent you from seeing copyrighted content.
Yeah.
And then you'd never be able to go to badspot.us/clips.html ever again.
Good subtle advertisement there.
My neighbor's vacuuming, right? Upstairs neighbor's vacuuming. Might have to take a break.
You can move to New York and be fucking miserable. Actually, I'm kidding. As long as you don't move to New York City, you'd be fine.
Yeah, why does everyone in the world want to live in one place? And
I don't know.
Like, I saw this thing where it was like a screenshot on Reddit, but it was from some apartment hunters thing. And it's like, there's an apartment where it's a single room apartment, but there's literally just like a refrigerator, and then right next to it, there's a toilet. And there's no shower.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
It's like, why would you live there? Like, also stuff like Silicon Valley, or like everyone has to live in San Francisco because that's where every tech company is. And they don't, in San Francisco, they don't let anybody build a building more than 3 stories tall. So
why is that? Oh, because of earthquakes?
I don't know. No, you can. It's because they're assholes.
Oh.
And they want everything to be quaint. So now you have to pay like $4 million for a burned down shack.
Yeah.
Like literally a building that's falling in on itself is millions of dollars. Why doesn't some tech Twitter could just be like, hey, we're just moving to like, you know, Nevada or Montana. Just throw a dart into the Midwest and just build a city there. You could bring all your employees and then build it as some sort of utopia.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that because it's risk, and why take risk when you could just make money?
But you could just, like, you could actually make it pay for itself because you have to pay everyone, like, everyone, it was all the Twitter employees are paying $3,000 a month in rent, right? You can just be like, okay, we're just going to cut your salary because you only have to pay $1,000 in rent for, like, a palatial mansion.
I have news for you, which is probably not news because you've probably seen it for a while now. Do you remember the show Fooly Cooly on Adult Swim?
Yes.
And you remember that it was good because I remember we talked about it. We both enjoyed it.
It's in my top five.
Yes. Now, is there any way that they could ruin that show for you?
They could make a terrible sequel.
Guess what? There's two coming. Not one, but two.
Yeah, I heard about it. But they are... getting the pillows back.
Yeah, and they gave the original people. I'm not saying it's going to be bad. I'm saying that I enjoyed Fooly Cooly because it was, what, 6 episodes? And it was a complete thing.
Yeah.
It was six.
It was six, and it was basically like an album.
Yeah.
Music playing the entire time. And it's actually like listenable music.
Yeah, it's nice music.
You would want to listen to. And not just like... Like, compare it, you can thematically compare the show to Kill la Kill. And also, Kill la Kill has some sick music at times, but it's really only got the one hook. Don't lose
your way! Yeah.
It doesn't have, like, an album worth of music.
Yeah, whereas the Fooly Cooly definitely has, like, an album.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's got the original band, and it's got some of the original people working on it, mostly original people working on it, it will probably be pretty good. I'm just worried that it's not going to be good enough for me.
Well, it couldn't possibly be good enough. Like it.
Yeah. I feel like they set expectations way too high by making something good.
Yeah, another... I'm trying to think of other animes where there has been a sequel like 20 years later. There was Die Buster and then Gun Buster. No, Gun Buster and then Die Buster.
Yes. I didn't like that much. It was interesting.
Yeah.
So Die Buster was the original?
Yes.
Or is it... Was Gunbuster the original or Dinebuster?
Gunbuster was the original and then Dinebuster.
Gunbuster was the original. Okay. I really enjoyed the original.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that that was really well done, and it was surprisingly well done. And for it to be, like, a parody of what it, like, of the style of anime it was at the time, and yet still have a pretty good impact. So it was good. Watching Dinebuster was weird. For anyone who doesn't know about the show, by the way, it's basically like, imagine like a sports anime, except there's not really sports, and the team you're getting picked on is to pilot giant Gundams. And that's kind of what the show is.
It is a classic of the mecha genre.
Yeah.
And it's only the first one, the Gunbuster, is only 6 episodes long, and they spend several episodes like building up the world, and they have a very realistic take on like the science fiction universe, despite it being like, it's very almost like an 80s movie in that it is very trope heavy, you know, it like embraces the ridiculousness, but somehow it also takes itself seriously.
Yeah.
An Arnold Schwarzenegger movie has no right to be as good as it is, given how stupid it is.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty good.
But yeah, with Dinebuster, it kind of, to me, it takes away from a lot of things they set up in the first one. Because, like, in it, basically, there is not as much build-up or explanation to why these things are happening. They're just happening.
Yeah, and I mean, I like how it's, I mean, it's hard to get into it without spoilers of the first one. I don't want to spoil the first one, but it's like the concept is really good to go back to it, but
yes,
it has a bit of weird anime-ness to it. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, basically, so, I mean, I do have a great way to describe it. Fooly Cooly does not quite belong in that other genre. It does not quite belong in Dinebuster, and yet it's in Dinebuster. The style of wacky, off-the-wall, not-quite-make-sense things.
Yeah.
That's basically
it. I mean, it's very comparable, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, bringing it back.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, I'm definitely going to watch it, and it'll be interesting. We'll have 2 points of comparison for 90s versus 2000s.
Yeah, our blind nostalgia versus something that is current. You want to get angry at things?
Yeah. Well, because you haven't seen Ready Player One, but...
No, because it kind of looked bad.
So I can't complain about the game design issues that are in the Ready Player One game.
I mean, you can. It's just you had to put spoiler warning.
Yeah. Well, spoiler warning. No, there's... Okay, so it's like, you know, the premise is like some dude has made this virtual world. There's hidden Easter eggs that you have to find to like win the ownership of the thing.
Yep, and the entire movie is CG, and they got Steven Spielberg to direct people for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was entertained.
Oh, that's good. So knowing that you were actually entertained makes me more want to see it, but I will not see it for many months.
But there's a thing where, like, the first Easter egg thing is in it. It's like, oh, you have to win, to get the first clue, you have to win this race game, which is apparently not in the book, but whatever. But the book apparently is, like, fucking stupid. It's not stupid, yeah. But it's just like
I think I've read a small amount.
The dude has to like the good. First thing in the book is he has to like beat some dude at joust. I don't know. It's sort of cringe.
I thought that happened later.
It happens later in the movie as well, but apparently in the book it happens more. Anyway, I haven't read the book. I just watched the movie. Anyway, the secret to winning the race is you have to drive backwards.
Yes, yeah, but I was like, thinking that.
I would say that if you had a race game and you started it, literally 50% of the field would drive backwards on the first try.
Wait, so I got a question for you. Is that how they actually solved it in the movie?
Yeah.
And in the book?
It's not the whole race thing is not in the book at all. It's just for it's a set piece.
Oh, it's just in the movie.
Like, that's why I say in the book, it's like, it's the first of all, he can't even leave his school in the book because he's poor.
Yeah.
And the clue is in the school. And he has to go like go underground and beat some demon at Joust or whatever, which apparently he does like in one try, which would be fucking impossible unless you're playing Joust like 24/7. Like, there is no such thing as being super good at a video game, a classic arcade game you have never played before.
I thought the build up to that was that he played a lot of Joust and like a lot of older games.
I like I said, I read like a 5-second Cliff Notes version where someone was complaining about the race scene in the game, in the movie.
It is a game.
Yeah, but like driving backwards, everyone would do that immediately. Even if it was certain death.
I thought, okay, so here's the thing. I had heard about that. I thought they were kidding. I thought that it was the joke of like, oh, first thing I would do is drive backwards. Yeah. And I was like, that is probably the first thing that many people would do.
Though I think you could probably get, if it was like you had to have a certain net worth or whatever, like the idea in the game is if you die, you lose all your stuff immediately. So if it was a high risk thing where like you would lose thousands and thousands of dollars, people wouldn't be willing to like suicide.
Yeah.
But they probably would after a while though.
I mean, given the context of things we've seen in real life, yes.
Like just even in video games though, people are just spending like tens of dollars, thousands of dollars on stuff.
Tens of dollars.
On stupid things. So like I was talking about like when we were playing years ago, Dungeon Fighter.
Oh yes.
And they had like the loot boxes where it's like pay $25 for it to have like some sort of themed outfit. And we're like, who would do that? And then like everyone in the fucking game has one.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was fake though, if they were trying to like
make it look like it was popular.
Yeah. So that we would buy it.
I don't know. I did enjoy what we ended up doing with that game, but that's a story for another time.
Yeah. Anyway, so in Ready Player One, our hero has a omnidirectional treadmill that he can run on.
Yes, because that's the thing we have.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
What's more, like the thing a poor child should have.
Well, no, I mean, like they there's this company Infinidec that has made this omnidirectional treadmill that is used as a prop in the movie.
Oh no, I know that. I'm saying in the context of the movie, isn't he poor?
Yeah.
Does this not seem like a luxury thing, perhaps, and he'd be using a controller?
In the future, everyone will have an omnidirectional treadmill.
Okay. Oh, okay, sure, we'll go with that. Go on.
Anyway, various YouTube channels and stuff have been looking at this thing and done interviews with this company that they, you know, because it's a real thing and it's like a promote. I don't know how money changed hands on this deal. Maybe it didn't, but it's fucking stupid. Omnidirectional treadmills are a goddamn dead end and no one should ever use them. It's stupid. Like, it's like the on live streaming service that the laws of physics make it such that if you work really, really hard, you can get it to just barely be shit.
Yeah. The only way an omnidirectional thing is going to ever work is if it literally holds your entire body.
It literally has an inertial stasis field that, defies the laws of...
Oh, no. I think you could maybe get close with like a suit that you wear and you're hung from the ceiling. That's maybe it. That's incredibly unrealistic.
No, like even that, like the problem is that the fundamental problem is that someone pulling the rug out from under your feet is not the same as walking forward.
That's why I need to be floating.
But if you look at what people either look like when they're walking, like they're drunk or elderly, right? Or like just still stumbling around.
Yeah.
So if you want the experience of like you put a VR headset on and you walk around, I have a thing that would be much cheaper than this, which is a big fucking empty room. You just walk around in an empty room.
Yeah.
Like what if you had to drive an hour into a warehouse? It'd be like a laser tag arena, except it's just a big empty warehouse and you get to walk around with a VR headset on.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that. Everyone's talking about this like personal experiences and all that bullshit. I want to play laser tag, but we're not playing laser tag. We're playing Counter-Strike. Like, I fucking want that. Because it's doable. It is totally fucking doable. You can map the entire... You can make a little Counter-Strike map inside of a warehouse. And some places, warehouses are cheap.
Yeah, because you could just make it out of plywood and stuff. You wouldn't have to look good.
Yeah, I would fucking drive to that. That is the next era of laser tag. I would want to do that. As a kid, that would have blown my fucking mind. Doom on the shitty fucking like VR thing at the mall was like pretty exciting as a kid. Wasn't mind-blowing, but it was like, this is kind of neat. I would have lost my goddamn shit if we had a full goddamn arena we could have run around in.
Yeah.
Hell, even that with Doom. I'd like that with Doom. Wouldn't that be fun?
What if it was Doom? I played Quake 2 at the mall in the 90s.
Oh, Duke Nukem. That's what it was.
Yeah, and it was... I found it weird because you had to like concentrate and aim with your head.
Yeah.
Field of view was really poor and didn't really get any stereo. I mean, the modern VR is way better, but...
Oh, yeah. This was more a novelty. For us, for the one we had, you just kind of moved your hand in a direction and the sensor would detect where you're trying to move. So if you want to stop moving, you just pull your hand back. It was kind of intuitive. And you can still, like, turn left and right.
The charitable interpretation of this treadmill is that there's two actuators. Not... If there's two actuators that could possibly made for a couple thousand dollars. If it's a treadmill of treadmills and there's like 50 actuators, then it's going to cost $50,000 forever. You just can't put that many things together for a consumer price.
Yeah.
Also, it's fucking huge.
It would need to be something small that looks nice in the home that would otherwise be like existing in a corner for 90%
of
its life.
Also, who wants to walk around?
People do, maybe.
I would rather walk around outside. I mean, even people who exercise all the time, they want to run around in the real world. I'd rather run in the real world and then sit on my ass and play a video game. Like, then combine the two.
I don't know. I like video games.
Yeah, but I don't want to exercise while I'm playing video games.
If you look at the link I just sent you, this is a this is a better design, but even then, I still don't want this. Essentially, what this design is it's you strap yourselves in, and then you kind of can walk naturally.
It's just the Virtuix Omni, where you are standing on a Teflon frying pan and strapped into a thing, and then you just wear little booties and you scoot along on the floor. It's stupid. You're just standing on a giant trackpad.
This is more fucking reasonable than that other monstrosity that you just talked about. It's a giant trackpad. It fucking works. I would find running in this to be much more reasonable than like pushing on a thing.
I feel like you could just have like a shopping cart that you just hold on to, and it's like you're pushing a virtual shopping cart around. Talk about Radical Heights, Cliffy B's abomination.
Oh God.
We should talk about it briefly.
We should talk about it briefly, yeah. Because this is, tell me all about it and what happened in between you writing it down.
Right. So we're going to talk about Radical Heights, which is Boss Key Entertainment's, Cliff Bleszinski's latest project, which is...
Cliffy B, excuse me.
Yes. Which is a Fortnite or a PUBG. It is you run around and shoot some dudes, except it's like the most cynical bullshit I've ever seen. And where it's like, oh, it's 80s themed. It looks like a fucking Unity asset flip. Anyway, but we procrastinated talking about this for so long that the company went out of business. By so long, I mean like a week. And the thing is that Cliffy B was tweeting, like, the problem was like, oh, how come Epic is poaching my employees? It's like, that's not fair. And then like a week later, it went out of business. So like, what, you're like trying to get your employees to stay for this last fucking week? Feel sorry for anyone who stayed loyal to him.
Well, the awful part is it might have been just a reaction. Yeah. Like, oh, you're taking all my employees? Fuck everyone else. But I doubt it was that. I think it was probably planned.
But it's too bad you didn't see Ready Player One, because I would make a strong comparison between Cliffy B and the villain in Ready Player One, where he just pretends to like shit from the 80s.
I mean, you can make the comparison, and I'll just say yes. I somewhat understand.
Cliffy B is the villain from Ready Player One.
I somewhat understand.
But luckily, the movie's over, and he lost.
Oh.
Actually, he didn't lose. Cliffy B has like billions of dollars. He invested, he bought like 40% of Oculus before the Facebook acquisition.
Oh God, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so now he's like a gazillionaire.
Separate life.
Yeah, huh. But of course, if he's blowing it hundreds of millions of dollars on shitty game studios, maybe he'll, I'm sure he's doing fine. But the problem is that he thought he was a genius. He's like, so he like just happened to fucking luck out, right? And he's like, I'm a genius, therefore I can build, what was their shitty game that they built? Lawbreakers.
I want to state that everyone who says Blockland is dying, who has more, who has
that
more
lived
players
too, than VP's entire studio.
Like, no, when Lawbreakers, before Lawbreakers even shut down, we actually outnumbered it like a few months into its release. Yeah. That blew my goddamn mind. And everyone says that Blockland's dying.
But it is dying though, for real.
Yeah, sadly. Slow and arduous death. Rip. No, it's still doing fine. For anyone who's actually like panicking right now that we're shutting down, I think it's still doing okay.
I still run fucking Age of Time.
Everyone thinks that we're gonna just shut everything down.
I mean,
I think because they want us to. I don't know.
It's a death cult.
People are having fun with it. People are playing the game.
Yeah.
As long as that keeps happening, it'll not shut down.
It could be scaled down to run on like $10 a month.
Yeah.
So I'm prepared to put up, you know, $1,000 and have the thing run for several years in that case.
But Eric, you don't want to make money. That'd be stupid.
No, I want to make money. That's why.
Why would you want to keep making
you
money?
To make money, what I do is to get no one to play the game, and I make it ban everyone, and that's how I make money. Haven't you been keeping up with the conspiracy theories that people post?
Yeah. Well, we went off topic.
Anyway, fuck Cliffy B. He's got this weird mannerisms where he somehow splits the difference between being a jock and a nerd and makes everyone hate him.
I don't think I hate him. I just think I'm indifferent to him. Fucking Jazz Jackrabbit. Eric, do you like cassettes?
I mean, I had some.
Do you feel nostalgic for cassette tapes?
Not really.
I really don't either. Did you know that cassette tapes are selling much more than they have in the past?
I mean, I only from subscribing to, you know, Tecmoan and 8-bit keys/guy, where Anders Jensen puts out his album on cassette tape.
Yeah. So a lot of people have done that. And like, I understand it. Like, I own actually the Metal Gear Solid 5 soundtrack on cassette tape.
That's sort of like a, yeah, cause it, like an in-game thing.
They made it like look like the in-game thing, and I quite enjoy that. I got yelled at profusely when I actually played it and posted it to Reddit. People are like, you played that?
Oh, well, like you're not supposed to play it? Like you're ruining it by playing
it's
it?
It's a collector's item. I ruined it. I listened to the whole album on my fucking watch.
Did you inform people that tapes were played all the time, like in the past?
Yeah, they do wear down though. They're analog. But it was just really funny. So anyway, I go to thrift stores and I have noticed a continuing trend of people freaking out over cassette tapes when they're put out. Like Van Halen on cassette tape, fucking gone instantly. Stuff like that. And I understand records because records are like, they're this big thing. They get the artwork and like, it looks really nice and it sounds pretty good. Like it has a nice, like softer sound than like the digital like recreations of it, right? And before I like had hearing damage, I used to listen to records a lot because I couldn't listen to whole albums on my computer because it would hurt my ears after a while, like strain them. So I understand people like having their wants and needs for vinyl. It's also just fun to have like the posters and all the random shit, you know?
Yeah.
Cassettes I like just because of like, I remember these, but I don't really go out of my way to buy them. It's, I don't know.
Cassettes are presumably shit, especially on like a Walkman because of the speed variation.
Yeah.
Like, I remember distinctly having Walkman where it would play faster if you tilted it one way or the other way.
Yeah. I also, that's actually my next thing I want to talk about. Do you have a Walkman? Do you ever have a Sony Walkman?
I mean, I used to. I don't think I have one now. I think I have there are these waterproof yellow Walkmans, and I have some cases for those. Like, I took all the guts out. I took out, and you put things in them.
Well, that's actually useful. I bought a Walkman from a yard sale because I was like, oh, I don't want to take my non-Sony brand Walkman around because I have too many childhood memories of it. So if I don't want to use that in the car when I have like a few random ass cassette tapes that I wanted to listen to, things you can't really get, or like old ass audiobooks, stuff like that. So I bought this for $1 and I was like, neat, it's official Sony brand. It almost looks like the one in Metal Gear Solid 5. So I'm like, this is kind of cool. Guess the price. Guess how much the fucking Walkman's worth.
$45.
$100.
$100.
It's a cheap 80s hunk of plastic. I even commented to my girlfriend that, oh, this is not one of the rare expensive ones because those are like, they're like heavy duty and they feel very like cool in your hands. Like they feel like a really like solid piece of electronic kit. This feels like a chunk of fucking plastic. It looks kind of nice. It is designed well. But yeah, $80 to $100 for a working unit.
Well, I think we...
$45 for a non-working unit.
We now have conclusive evidence that the whole vinyl thing is just nostalgia.
I don't know, because I had no nostalgia for vinyl when I got into vinyl stuff.
I mean, are people going to be nostalgic for VHS tapes and try to start collecting them?
Well, some people do, but it's very few that they do. Like, old horror things you can't buy. My friend collects old anime, but he collects old anime for a very specific reason. It's because he has a lot of money, and he is very amused by buying the stuff that, like, was so rare in the 90s for, like, $1 each.
Yeah.
Because you gotta realize a lot of this VHS like anime stuff is like, it only existed in this form. So having like a weird bootleg of it that came from Japan or China was the only way you got to watch like The Dirty Pair or some weird 90s anime that's the only one I could think of for some reason. And it's actually not that dirty. It's literally just two girls going on comedic adventures.
Yeah.
With sometimes like very, very corny, dirty humor.
Yeah, but if you compare it to like any other Western media of the time, it looks like a porno from the cover.
Yeah. But anyway, so I cannot believe, back to what I was talking about, I can't believe how collectible Walkmans have become. Which sucks because I still want the Walkman from Metal Gear Solid 5. I don't want to pay $200 for it. Or whatever the godforsaken price is. God knows it's more than the cheap one that I found. The main reason I have the Walkmans is I like to listen to weird-ass audiobooks.
Yeah.
When you go to thrift stores, the CD audiobooks cost a lot of money, and they're on like 50 CDs, and I have no idea why. And the cassette audiobooks come on like one cassette or two cassettes. That's it. And it's also, I'm like weirdly nostalgic over those, because those used to be so goddamn expensive.
Yeah. They could do the, in the cyberpunk world, you could have digitally encoded tape. You have MP3 on tapes and get like a billion hours of audio on them, probably.
Yeah. I mean, you already do that with Oh, not cassette tapes, mind you. CD audio, they do that. It's just not many... previously in the past, not many CD players would have supported it. So thank you for listening, whoever listened to this, if there's anyone left. We took about 2 months in between recording, so I'm not actually sure if anyone is going to continue to listen to this. We promise to not have this next one out.
What? Don't make any promises.
No, you didn't let me finish. We promise to not have this one out for at least another month, the next one. So keep a not, pay possibly an eye out for that.
Yeah, unsubscribe.
Unsubscribe, because very clearly we're not going to do this often enough for it to be worth your little digit on your YouTube account.
All right.
But yeah, thank you for listening. Take care. I am stopping recording.